Our Lord Jesus says to us, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Our Lord calls us to live a life of mercy. Be merciful. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for the one who abuses you. Give and expect nothing in return. Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Only the Lord could call us to live a life like that. If it was anyone else, I'd say, you don't know what you're talking about. Being merciful to someone who hates you, who's caused you extreme pain and deep hurt, is hard work. Nearly impossible. Jesus knows mercy work. Jesus knows what that is like. Jesus knows what it's like to love an enemy. You were one of them. Turning away from the one who gave you life, you wandered away and you abused his gifts that he gave to you. You cursed him. Other things became more important to you. You chased after each of them. Each one of us, like sheep, went astray. And our Lord Jesus was the good shepherd who sought us out, seeking each one of us out personally and individually with his heavenly mercy. The good shepherd searches tirelessly for his lost sheep. He sought you out, and he showed you mercy, even while you were yet his enemy. For the scriptures say, while we were yet sinners, at that right time, Christ died for us. He showed you mercy when you did not deserve it. He gives you forgiveness in the face of all of your sins by his blood. He gives his mercy fully and freely to you and expects not one thing in return. Otherwise, it wouldn't be mercy. Otherwise, it wouldn't be grace. But our Lord Jesus is full of amazing grace and mercy. Only he could call us to do such a difficult thing. The one who has done good to those who hated him. He blessed those who cursed him. He prayed for the one who abused him. And he is merciful to the merciless. You and me. We have been shown great and abundant mercy. And now, filled up with that mercy, we are sent out into the world to be merciful, just as the Heavenly Father is merciful. Now, there's two streams of thought here in this text, and they end up in very different directions by biblical scholars. One train of thought is that when Jesus calls us to love our enemies, it means that we are called to love all people. This idea of general suffering, that any time you suffer from someone, you are called to love them. Think of the thief or the robber who breaks into your home. You help load up their car with the rest of your belongings and send them on their way with a friendly wave. Or if someone steals your iPhone, well, then maybe you pay for their plan for a couple of years too. Or if someone hurls an insult your way, you go out of your way to compliment them. You bless them. The idea is that when Jesus calls us to love our enemies, he calls us to love all people, no matter what kind of suffering comes our way. It's more of a general type of suffering. The other train of thought is that when Jesus calls us to love our enemies, it's not a general suffering, but Christ is talking about a specific suffering that comes from religious persecution. You don't give away everything to a robber or a thief. But if he steals from you because of your faith in Christ, because you're using things on account of Jesus, well then, if you are insulted because of your faith, then you bless them. Christ is preparing his disciples for the suffering that they will endure because they believe in him. That's the suffering Jesus is talking about. In fact, he just got done saying, "Blessed are those who are reviled by man on account of me. Blessed are you when people hurl insults at you and mock you because of your faith in me. When people persecute you because of your faith in me, then you are blessed. And those are the ones whom you are to show mercy to. Give them everything, the ones who persecute you for your faith in Jesus." So which one is it? Those discussions often end up in theoretical areas, and you start to miss Jesus' point. You sum it all up by loving your neighbor as yourself, by being merciful to all people, especially the one who causes you pain because you believe in Christ. Each of us has been sent out personally and individually into our own spheres of influence, our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, and each of us personally and individually have been given gifts from the same Holy Spirit to show mercy to others, to find the hurting sheep, to offer our ears and to listen to their pain, and to lend our hands and our feet to bind up their wounds and to bring them back into the safety of the Lord. We go out from here to serve the poor, the abused, and the neglected, and yes, especially the ones who are filled with anger and hate us for standing on the truth of God's word, and we show them mercy. There are a lot of people who need finding. They are lost and not yet found. And they need the mercy of a Christian. Everyone else in the world, they love people who love them. They do good to those who do good to them. They help those who help them. Rarely do you ever find love in the world that loves those who hate them or does good to people who harm them. But if you do find that, perhaps it's because that person feels good when they do it. They help the downtrodden because it lifts them up. Or they believe that they're earning favor in the sight of God. That if there is a God, then surely he will see all the good that I'm doing and will let me into his heaven. Either way, that kind of mercy only sees people as means to an end, as objects meant to serve my own purposes, that I will help you because it helps me. I will help you out because it gives me some brownie points before the Father in heaven. That's not mercy. That's selfish, and it's extremely worldly. The Christian mercy, the one who shows mercy as a Christian, knows that they don't earn favor with God by what they do. They have been justified freely by faith alone in Christ alone. They are not here to impress God by their love. Heaven's door is not dependent on our own doing. We have been forgiven and set free to love people solely and precisely because they need it. Not because it benefits us in any way. This is why the Christian will continue to show mercy and love even when it doesn't feel good to them. Even when it hurts. The Christian will continue to show mercy and love even when it's extremely painful. They will continue to give and to give and to give, expecting nothing in return, because it no longer matters what I receive. It only matters that you receive, that you are blessed, that you are found and helped. That's the mercy of the Christian, and the world desperately needs it. N.T. Wright retells a story about an archbishop who was hearing a confession of sin from three hardened teenagers in the church. All three boys decided to make a joke out of it, so they met with the archbishop and confessed to a long list of ridiculous and grievous sins that they never committed. It was all a joke, and the archbishop, seeing right through the bad practical joke, played along with the first two as they ran out of the church laughing. But when he listened carefully to the third prankster, and before he got away, he told him, "Okay, you've confessed your sins. Now I want you to do something for me. I want you to walk up to the far end of the church. I want you to look at the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And I want you to look at his face, and I want you to say these words: 'You did all that for me, and I don't care that much.' And I want you to do it three times." So the boy went up to the front of the church. He looked at the picture of Jesus on the cross, and he said, "You did all that for me, and I don't care that much." And then he said it again. But on the third time, he broke down in tears, unable to finish the painful words. The archbishop telling the story said, "The reason I know this story is that I was that young man. And there was something about that cross, something about Jesus dying there for me, that leapt over all theoretical discussions, all possibilities of how I explain it this way or that way, and it simply took hold of me. Like a shepherd who flung his lamb over his shoulders, there at the very presence of my Savior, I had a sense for the first time that what was holding me was nothing more than the mercy and the love of God." Mercy begins and ends with forgiveness. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Mercy and forgiveness can never be separated. To show mercy to another is to forgive them. How many times should I forgive my brother? 7? The Lord says to Peter, no, 70 times 7. Stephen, the very first Christian martyr, stoned to death for his faith in Jesus, cries out, "Father, forgive them." He received the same Spirit of the Lord who utters the same words of forgiveness from his cross as he's being nailed. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That same Holy Spirit is within you, and it fills you with the mercy of the Father that flows freely and abundantly from that blessed cross of Jesus, who, risen from the dead, now sends you out to be merciful, no matter how difficult the task, to one more sinner, to one more lost sheep who, whether they know it or not, are in the desperate need of the mercy of God, that they must receive his mercy too, that is, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured into their lap by the shepherd who measures it out specifically and personally and individually for them, just as he did for you. Amen.